Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Open Mic with 2018 candidate Ruben Dockery for the Tennessee 19th Senatorial District. We're back again for another informative Friday evening, and we have a guest on with us tonight who's in the studio with us. We appreciate him. We'll introduce him formally in just a little bit here. But tonight, as you perhaps have seen from the Facebook promotion, and perhaps you have not, but we're speaking from the topic, Tennessee Senate District 19, Economic Empowerment Zone. What is that? Well, I encourage you and invite you, welcome you, to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. And, or if you're not comfortable with calling in, I hope you feel free to do so. You can shoot me a post on Facebook, and we'll communicate with you from that venue. Nonetheless, to discuss a very, very important topic, I believe, and this is something that, as a candidate, we will be rolling out after we're elected in November to represent you, the constituents of Senate District 19 in Nashville proper, the 19th Senatorial District. Okay. That being said, let me get right into it, and then we're going to bring our guests in. And again, I want to encourage you to give me a call here and talk with me about what you think. This is a forum that is for you and for all of our constituents. The intention is for us to be able to dialogue and have substantive conversation and to be able to move forward as a district with information that we need to empower ourselves to make the change that we all are looking for. And I believe that we are looking for proactive, positive change in our decision for the next senator in the 19th Senatorial District. So together we can have that, and we will have that. All right. So let's get right into it. In 1994, the United States Congress instituted the Empowerment Zone Program, the EZP. It consisted of three designations. One, the renewal communities, or the RCs, the empowerment zones, or the EZs, and the enterprise communities, or ECs. The focus was on highly distressed urban and rural communities that may be eligible for a combination of grants, tax credits for businesses, funding authorities, and other benefits. While the latter federal program formally phased itself out completely in 2016, the basic model can be used and replicated here. I thought it was a good idea, and they only had it at certain places. But given the gravity of our situation, what I'd like to talk with you tonight about is my legislative agenda for Senate District 19 that includes the Tennessee District 19 Economic Empowerment Zone model. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Specifically, we're talking about how we can look at the targeted voting precincts with high unemployment as well as poverty rates. Now, as a whole, Davidson County looks pretty good. Tennessee looks pretty good in terms of the unemployment rate dropping. But when we dig deeper into the circumstance, we find that by voting precinct, the case is far different. And there specifically, there are certain individuals, as I made reference to before, are drowning in the economic boom and rise and tide that has come to Senate District 19, which is comprised primarily of Nashville-Davidson County. All right? So we have Yarbrough on the right, and we have Dickerson on the left. Dickerson is Senate District 20, Yarbrough 21. Sandwiched in between of that, you have Senate District 19. There's an opportunity to put together sensible legislation that can bring young people off the streets, selling dope, engaging in gang activities and other illegal things, and to allow them to have proper guidance and training. So let's get into it. I've been directing you to look at my webpage on the website constituentadvocacy.com. That's constituentadvocacy.com. There, if you will go there, you'll find the link. Basically, go under the candidate platform, and as you hover over it, you'll see podcast presentation. And you're looking at this, you're watching this live stream Facebook feed. You can go back later if you don't do it now, but if you'd like to follow me, I encourage you to do so. And where I am is specifically from Voter Education Series Part 2, how do tax dollars flow down to constituents? I've opened up the PDF file there because we're not going to play the whole video. It's a 40-some minute video. It's an instructional video, but we're just going to open up the PDF file so we can scroll through a few things here, have a little conversation. Okay? All right. Now, having said that, what I want to do briefly is to just introduce you to the basic concept. Then I'm going to bring my guest in. We'll have him to introduce himself formally, and we'll have a little conversation. In that PDF, we're talking about how tax dollars flow. Now, I just want to let you know what the objectives are for this particular voter education lecture. Upon the completion of this particular section, observers will be introduced to the formal process for setting the Tennessee state budget. They will learn how the senator can, on behalf of considering the budget approval process, all right, and they will also be introduced to some methods for assisting community groups, grassroots efforts, and government agencies to work collectively the allocation of public dollars. Let me just go back and correct that second bullet point. They will learn how the senator can act. All right. Now, why is that important? Because at the beginning of the legislative session, that's one of the first duties and the first things they do. And we know that young people are getting caught up in illegal activity, and all of it is not just because they just want to be criminals, but quite often is because of social economic challenges. And one of the ways as a senator we can provide relief, particularly in those voting precincts I just mentioned, is that we can provide resource and opportunities backed by sensible legislation. Don't have to necessarily create any brand new. If we have some already, which I understand there is, that support the economic development initiatives already in the state. How can we use that or tweak it? If we need new legislation, let's do it. All right? But more importantly, what we want to do is to make it easier for those individuals, perhaps who have dropped out of high school, who can be trained to develop a business concept and to benefit from soft skill trainings to prepare them socially, emotionally, to be responsible as a business owner and a taxpayer, such that through a partnership with private businesses. So what you have is the nonprofit providing the soft skill training. You have the government providing legislative support for, and then you have a partnership among the business community. And where did this come from? The empowerment zone is over. However, the new tax bill that the Congress has passed has a piece in there dealing with Community Redevelopment or Investment Act. What it does is it provides incentives for business investors to place their money in new business startups specifically for minorities. What minorities, Mr. Dockery? Specifically, I'm talking about young men who may not have committed a serious felony, but on the brink, and who can be brought in and who can be given an opportunity. I'm talking about these voting precincts. To take their best ideas, to discipline themselves, and benefit from these incentives, basically. So what happens on the new tax bill, the federal tax bill, is that you already get, you start, the business start off with a 20% deduction, as I understand. And if you're willing to invest your resources and your funds into a new business startup for a minority, guess what? They'll give you another 40%. That's 60% off the top. So you're looking at a 40% profit from your business, and then you're also looking at a 60% deduction that you don't have to pay to the government. At the end of the day, when the business that you invest in is successful, guess what? That's a return. It's a return for you, for the entrepreneur, and for the community in which that business is established. Okay? And so what we're talking about is, we often talk about people engaged in illegal activities, and most times people say, well, you need to get them off the street. That's true. That's absolutely true. What I have found in my work as a nonprofit, founder and director and a pastor over the last almost 25 years now, is that there are young people who, and I'm not just talking about African American, but certainly this is a prevalent issue among the African American community. But there are young people who are desperately looking for opportunities, as I just described. How do you know that? Because I've engaged them over the years. And guess what? Some of the grants that I've written as a nonprofit founder and director and went to elected officials that you and I know well, they were designed to proffer the same type of things. Unfortunately, I could not get my legislators and people that I've voted for years to take that seriously enough to advance it or to do anything with it. Hence the nature of my run. I'm looking to make a difference for those who are struggling. And guess what? In this rising tide economically, they can also prosper. And guess what? When we do that for them, we make it easy for everybody. I believe that when people's time is properly managed and occupied, guess what? They don't have to find themselves under the gun. And they can also see themselves doing better for themselves. They feel a lot better, and they're able to contribute to society in a meaningful way. And I'm convinced that'll make anybody feel good. To know that you're making a difference, that you're offering something productive, and that you are a meaningful part of society, absolutely, you know. And so what I'm saying is that through smart legislation, now some people say, well, you can't do that, and everybody can't be a business owner. That may be true, but there are a lot of them who would benefit from such a thing. And my intention is to proffer an initiative that will result in 250 new business startups over the next 4 years in Senate District 19. Quite possibly, it will expand itself to some of the other Senate districts. I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't have a problem with that at all. But what I'm concerned about first and foremost are my constituents. That's my job. I wish I could have got such support from those who were in office already. But guess what? I ain't going to cry over no spilled milk. You understand what I'm saying? I'm done with that. It's all about now doing what we have to meet the needs of those who are in need today. Okay? And so hence we are today talking about this particular piece. Let me now open up the phone lines and invite my guest tonight who is joining us, Mr. John Smith. John Smith is a candidate as well in the November 6th election for the 54th Senatorial District. I met him, not Senatorial District, I'm sorry, House of Representatives District. I met him on the campaign trail. How you doing, Mr. Smith?
How you doing tonight, Ruben?
Great, 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 great. Let me turn the floor over to you to take a moment to introduce to our listeners, and we're just going to talk about this economic empowerment zone and the possibilities and prospects. But take a few minutes to introduce yourself to our listeners as you so choose, and we will get right into it.
First of all, before I say anything, Ruben, thank God in the name of Jesus for being on this show tonight and hearing some positive things, because in our state, in our district, we need positive things. And you're talking about the children. The children are our future, man, and I'm concerned about them too. I want to see our young men and women prosper. Okay, my name is John Smith, but my friends call me Big John because I'm a big guy.
Yeah,
6'4", almost 300 pounds. And
okay,
like you said, I'm a candidate for the 54th District.
Okay.
And my occupation, I'm a deputy sheriff. And, you know, over the last 25 years, I've had the privilege of working in the Bordeaux and North Nashville community.
Okay.
And, you know, Ruben, along with those duties I performed, I listened to the concerns of our people. And some of the things I've heard touched my heart deeply. I'm sorry, Ruben.
That's okay.
Oh, you were finna say something? I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening to you.
I'm
following you.
I got you. Like I said, some of the things I've heard touch me deeply. For instance, they will say how they were terrified crime in their neighborhoods. They said, "Deputy, we can't come outside because these young boys are out there selling dope and shooting right in front of our door."
Wow.
But some of the biggest concerns I've heard was over and over, we elect people to represent us, and afterwards we don't see them again until it's election time. And they say they don't listen. You know, it means a lot to me what they think, because not only is this their community, but it's my community also.
Right.
So after prayer, I decided someone needed to stand up for this district, and I decided I was going to be that person.
Okay, which is a very noble cause, okay? And hence you are now a candidate. You've done what it takes to get on the ballot, and now you're a candidate. Who would be running it? Do you have anyone that you have as an opponent, or how's that looking?
Yes, I do. I'm like Mr. Ruben, I'm an independent. I'm in no party.
Okay.
My election time will come up in November, and early voting is in October. My opponent, his name is Vincent Dixie. He's the Democratic nominee for the 54th State District.
All right. And I met him as well. He strikes me to be a fine gentleman and very affable fellow. So
yes, he is.
I'm sure that will prove to be a good race. Good race. Okay. All right. Well, you've heard my monologue, Mr. Smith. What do you think about that? The information that we were talking about there, in terms of certainly, you know, the 54th district sits right in Senate District 19. The House district does.
Yes,
What do you think about that plan for creating an economic empowerment zone?
Man, I think it's a great plan. I live out here in the Bordeaux community. And you know, we've had some development. We have, you know, new things out here, but basically it still looks the same like I seen back in the 70s. And I believe not enough money has been, you know, been allocated for out here in this zone. It's just like we're forgotten. You know, there's a lot of middle-class families out here who pay taxes, and I think we deserve more than what we have. But as far as what you're talking about, Ruben, I do think that is a good idea. You know, we need young entrepreneurs. I want to see this area out here developed. I like to see something more than tire shops and fish places and chicken places. I want to see real businesses. And what you're saying, I would like to see some of our young people be businessmen and develop this area, because Davidson County is like the last frontier. I mean, this part of Davidson County is like the last frontier that is underdeveloped, and I would like to see positive development out here.
Right. Okay. We have some challenges, don't we? And
yes, we do.
And to say that don't nobody care is just not true. It's not true. As you said, you in your line of work, you hear the longing and the concerns of people every day. And you know that they are desperately looking for an answer. Now, they don't sit in the halls of the state legislature. They don't sit in the House seat that you're running for or the Senate seat that I'm running for. But they vote us, they elect individuals to look out for them in that regard. And the truth is, much more needs to be done. It's time out. You know, my theme has changed 2018. And that's simply because it's time out for just being a lump on the log and being in the seat just for the sake of being there and not being able to get anything done. I've heard too many times that, hey, they won't let us do this and they won't let us do that, and that fight between Democrat, Republican, you know. At the end of the day, we got young people that are killing one another senselessly. And oftentimes, in their minds, this is how they survive. This is how they provide for themselves. It sounds crazy, but it's real, you know? It's very real, and it's something for us to stop and take note of, I believe. So in my proposal, what I have offered is a means by which, during the legislative process, we can begin to look at what is already in place, right, and determine what's missing. So when I'm elected, one of the first things I intend to do is to have a steering committee of individuals, a volunteer committee, that will go to each of the voting, the 47 voting precincts, to inquire where the holes are, where the gaps in services are, and then have them to come back and share with me exactly what the priorities are for budgeting. So sometimes people say, well, you know, you can't be everywhere and you don't know everything. Well, the people know, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And if you empower the people to tell you, then they can basically guide you in what it is they actually need you to do. You don't have to guess about it. We take the guesswork out of it by engaging the people.
I'm sorry, brother. If I may, there was a movie. You know, I'm one of those people that likes history. There was a movie about Winston Churchill during World War II, and it was called A Darkest Hour. And so it came to a point where Adolf Hitler was about to really smash England. And they was talking to the king of England at that time. They say, well, sir, you might have to, you know, relocate to another country. And the king thought about it, and it just made him mad. And he really didn't like Winston Churchill, but he went out and reached out to him. He said, you know, when I need guidance, I go out to the people. The people are our boss. We have to go out. We have to listen to them, because you're right, sir. They do know.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? You ain't got to try to figure out, right? They can tell you exactly what you need if you're willing to listen to them.
And old Winston, he took the king's advice and he went on and got on the subway. And, you know, the people were shocked because they saw him get on there with his top hat and his cane. And then he just started talking to them, and they started instructing him.
Right. And that's where it is, man. Sometimes the politician, that's why I don't consider myself to be a, I know I'm in a political race, okay, but I don't identify myself as a politician. I am an advocate for people running in a political process. But at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about the constituents, man, what they need and what they want. And if I'm not willing to humble myself to the interest and the will of the people, I mean, what are you there for? You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
What's my point? What's my point? You know, I don't get to, I never did agree with that notion that you should just allow anyone to have carte blanche authority and no responsibility for being responsive to the people. I just don't agree with that at all. And it doesn't matter to me who you are or how popular you are. If you're not taking care of business, you need to get out the way and let somebody that can do so. What do you think?
Ruben, I hear it every day. I mean, over the last, especially the last couple of years, they say, Big John, you know, man, they don't care. I mean, we try to talk to them to do this, and they, you know, they're only concerned with their own affairs. And people feel left out, and people not supposed to feel left out. Man, people, there's people that get up and work every day, and they expect results.
Every day. That's right. That's absolutely right. I mean, yeah, that's it. So you're listening to Open Mic with 2018 Senate District 19 candidate Ruben Dockery. And we're on with Mr. Big John Smith, who is a candidate for the 54th House seat in Tennessee. And we're speaking from the topic of Empowerment Zone, 19th Senatorial District Empowerment Zone. And what I have shared is how we can provide that. Give us a call at 657-383-0944. We got about 32 minutes or so. I would love to engage you in this conversation. If you're on Facebook, give us a call. Talk to us here. Shoot me a text or a comment on the app there. I'd be happy to, again, respond accordingly. But so, as you know, the purpose of these dialogues and conversations on Friday night is for you, the constituent, to talk to me, the candidate. I don't want you to believe for a second that Ruben Dockery takes your interests for granted or does not take you seriously. That's the nature of these conversations. So we got time. Give us a call here. You don't mind taking a few questions, do you, John, about your some of the things you're hoping to do with your on your candidacy?
No, sir. I don't mind.
All right. So, and last week we actually, a week before last, I think it was, we had George Thomas on, who was actually someone who was running in the Democratic primary for this seat that I'm running in now. And Pastor Jones, good man. And I've often said, John, that I'm not interested in fighting against anyone or running against anyone, but I'm running for the people. And I'm glad that Pastor Jones and I were able to see mind heart-to-heart and mind-to-mind. And next weekend, that's Saturday, August the 18th, at 6:30, we will be at Kingdom Cafe, which is his established business establishment, and we will be having a meet and greet. And I expect that he will be there and others. And I said that to say that we don't have to be at one another's throat. Because, John, when the election is over with, we still live here in the same district, right?
Yes, sir.
And you still need to be able to get along with people, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, I understand that politics get... Go ahead, I'm sorry. I cut you off. I apologize.
No, I apologize. That's the thing that's lacking today, getting along. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to compromise. I mean, that's what will make our community, that's what will make our society work. Everybody's not going to be able we all have to work together. That's what I'm trying to say.
Agreed. And tonight what we're talking about specifically is how we can provide economic opportunities in those voting precincts that struggle the most economically. Now, I'll reiterate the fact that, yes, the unemployment rate is down pretty low for Davidson County and across the state of Tennessee. Unfortunately, though, when we do a deeper dive into those 47 voting precincts, some of them are doing better than others, right? But what we find overwhelmingly is that where they're predominantly, in particular, African-American voting precincts, that there's a correlation between school dropout, reported crime, and economic disparity. How is it that we together, me as your senator holding the seat in the 19th senatorial district, can make a difference? See, John, if we say to young guys, give me your gun and give me your dope, and we replace it with nothing, what have we done?
They need to have something that they can work with. And then, you know, you still there, Ruben?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Okay. You know, I was talking to a young man today. He stopped me. He asked me a question about something. And the conversation went off to, you know, what he was trying to do. And he said that, you know, he was on disability and, you know, he couldn't work too much because he couldn't get the money, and I understand that. And then I got to talking to him. I said, you know, brother, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out there in this country today. There are jobs for people in the tech sector. And, I said, you know, they are giving away free college at the Nashville Tech out there. If you go to school, you can learn some of this technology trade in computer science especially. I told him about a job that I knew about that was paying over $40,000 a year just to change passwords. Do you know the concept of changing password? Except that's all you're going to be doing all day. I said, wouldn't that be more than what you're making right now? He said, dang, sure enough, there'll be more. And I said, you know, I said in a way, because I don't look down on nobody. I said, man, God did not make no garbage. He made us to blow up. I said, we can, you know, you can learn that trade and make more money than you're making now. And you were talking about, you know, taking a gun in a double way. I also talked to this young man. I said, you know what? Some of this energy out here that's used negatively in violence, just suppose if you took that energy and did it for something positive.
Right.
You know, and
right.
then, you know, you taking that drive you got. See, the forces inside us that run us, either negative can take it over or positive. If you turn that to positive, and you go out there and be a go-getter, be an entrepreneur in a legitimate trade, just think of how far you can go.
That's right. I mean, that's it right there, man. And you know, my work as a pastor and nonprofit director and a community advocate, John, I brought me to where you are today. And that is the overwhelming message, that there is hope and opportunity for you to do better. Now, if you don't know any better, how do you do better, right?
That is correct.
I don't want to disparage anyone or make light of anyone's plight or circumstance in life, but the truth of the matter is that no matter where you come from or whatever hiccups you faced in life, that does not have to be your final end or your future.
No, sir. You know, because I believe whatever the mind of you, whatever your mind can believe, you can achieve.
That's it. You know, when we talk about economics, really what we're talking about are the resources that when they're made available, people can empower themselves to be self-sufficient and independent. You don't have to depend heavily on public assistance, or other programs and services, because you're in a position to do for yourself. Now, I do understand that everybody is not prepared for that. I had a conversation with some individuals with a group called SCORE, and they are retired executives or CEOs who've come back to volunteer their time to help small business owners or new startups grow and develop? Well, they're funded by the Small Business Administration from the federal government, and as I understand, supplemented by the state. Okay. But the conversation I had, John, with the gentleman was he recognizes that there's a distance between many of these opportunities we're talking about that are even currently available and certain populations. And so I said to him, I know that you can't just give out money for free, right? And you cannot put it in the hands of people that will use it irresponsibly. So that is why in my plan, in my proposal, there are three essential connectors, right, and maybe a fourth one. But primarily what we want to look at is the soft skill training, which deals with the mindset and the discipline to not only work a job, but to be disciplined enough to follow the process to make sure you document what you do as a business owner and to use your resources wisely, right? And to follow the protocol of best practices in running a business. That moves us now into a situation where a coach, some of these individuals who successfully have owned business for 3 to 5 years or more, your coach. And your coach helps you to develop a sound business plan. But where do you get the startup funds for your business? Through this partnership with the government, with the state government, and private business that will make an investment into these entrepreneurial startups. They're going to get incentives from the federal government, and I would hope our legislation provides incentives even more if they're not there already on the state level, right? It's a win-win right. for everybody. It's a win-win for everybody. So at the end of the day, what you have is the soft skill training. You have state sanctioning or support through legislation, and then you have private government business partnership that are pushing these individuals in the right direction. I believe that if you approach someone on the street selling dope and you make that real clear to them, Brother John, I believe they'll go for that, man. Now, it may not be easy for them to walk away from the block, but you know what I'm saying? Under the right circumstances, it can happen.
I understand. With the right mindset, and what you're talking about, we can see progress.
Absolutely.
It needs to just be done. We need somebody up there in the Senate who's going to do that.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And as I was sharing this with different ones, I said to them, for each business, and that comes about 63 businesses a year over the next 4 years, more 250 of them. And for each business that is successfully, them to strive to hire at least 10 to 25 employees. So what you've done is you've created a business within a possibly poverty-ridden or challenging neighborhood, right? And then you provided incentives for them to hire other people from that area. Well, at the end of the day, what we're doing is improving the quality of life for more than just one person. I mean, and I think that goes along a lot further than just giving people money to every month to live by. And I think that's what people want, man. My family grew up in the housing project of Chicago. And, you know, at the end of the day, at some point in my life, John, I decided I don't want that to be the rest of my life. And I don't want my children to have to rely on that.
My father, we was raised.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
My family, we lived in Andrew Jackson housing projects over there by Fish
University.
Okay,
yeah. When I was
little, and my father, he worked 3 jobs. And you know he had a dream that he wanted to be a policeman, and he worked his way out, and then he got on the force, and then you know, and I know there's a lot of people, you know, because I talk to them, you know, they want to do something different, and what you're talking tonight could possibly give them that opportunity.
Absolutely,
Ruben, we have to change minds and hearts, man. I was telling that young man today, I said, brother, it's all in a frame of mind. You have that success conscious mind, you can go places.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But when you feel hopeless, Big John, and you feel as though there is no reason for you to try, you don't, do you?
No, you don't.
There's no
motivation. You really
there's
don't.
No reason. Yeah.
That's why that's why it's good if people, in my opinion, talk to people. Man, that's one of the things we got away from, man. You know,
yeah.
We need to reach out, and we need to talk to them, and say it don't have to be that way. Don't
Amen.
We, you know, like I said, God did not make garbage. He made us to be successful.
I believe you're trying to preach on me, John. I didn't know you were preaching too now.
No, brother, I'm not a preacher or a holy roller. I am conscious of it.
Okay.
Of that higher intelligence. I've seen him work. You know, he worked in my life. He made it to where I've been able to have a job and have a career for over 30 years, and that don't
wow.
come by just what John wants. They come by from some grace.
Sure. Okay. Wow. Excellent. Well said. You're listening again to Open Mic with 2018 Senate District 19 candidate Reuben Dockery. We on with Mr. John Smith, who is a candidate for the 54th House District of Tennessee. And we are talking tonight about my plan to bring 250 new business startups over the next 4 years, dubbing the Tennessee Senate District 19 Economic Empowerment Zone. And in case you missed my monologue at the beginning of the show here, I described how the United States Congress had established back in 1994 what they called an empowerment zone program that had three legs, essentially. And one of them was the renewal communities, or RCs as they called them. The others was the empowerment zones, or EZs, and the other was the enterprise communities, or ECs. And that's the basis or the impetus of the model that I seek to proffer as a state senator. These are things that we will work out, and we will introduce appropriate legislation where it's needed, and or bolster, modify current legislation accordingly where it is needed. But at the end of the day, what we want to do is to make it accessible to those who need it the most. And if I might just kind of look at on this presentation, if you're just joining us, the website is constituentadvocacy.com, and I've been encouraged others to go and hover over the platform, right? Under that, you'll find podcast presentations. We're looking at the voter education series, I believe it's part two, and there, part one, I'm sorry, and what we're looking at is how it is that tax dollars flow down to you, the constituent. And there is a PDF file there for you to open up at your leisure, and you can see exactly that process, how it flows. But it began with the budgetary deliberation. Okay? Now, every year this is done, as I understand, in the legislature. And the senator has 4 years to do it. The House of Representatives have 2 years to do it. But either way, that is the consideration. He goes on to the governor, and it becomes active part of the government process. But more importantly, I've intimated there how we can look at what's presently there in terms of requests for proposals or grants or even contracts or subcontracts, right? And we've identified how we can make that process easier and available to individuals who historically have not benefited. Now, I'm going to ask that old proverbial question, Big John. If a tree falls
okay.
in a forest, tree falls in a forest, and there's no one there to witness it, has the tree fallen? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I understand.
And there's no one there to witness. Has the tree fallen?
Trees fall.
It might as well not have if it did, right? Because there's no witness to it. And so the point is simply that what we have to do is to educate and to enlighten people. And I've said this before on the show, on this particular show, that the three prongs of my campaign are voter education, voter organization, then voter participation at the polls. I don't expect you to vote for me if you don't know what I'm going to do for you. And you should not, I say respectfully, do the same for anybody else. I don't care how popular they are, how long they've been around. What you going to do now? You understand what I'm saying? When we look at where we are now, we're in a tight spot, and we didn't get here overnight. Somebody's been in seat of power, and that's the hell. 657-383-0944. We got about 13 minutes to go. You want to call us with a question or comment, or you want to post something here on Facebook, feel free to do so. We'll be happy to. This is Reuben Dockery, your 2018 Senate candidate for District 19. And again, we're having these conversations with you so that we can break bread and we can make movement for change in 2018. I go to Groger's, Big John, and I put my item on the desk, on the counter. And they say, that'll cost you 25 cents. So I peel off a dollar, John, and give it to the register, cash register. They turn around and give me the item and don't give me my change. You think I'm about to leave that store, John?
No. No, you're not.
You I go want back my 75 get cents, money. Man.
That's right. You work hard for it.
Huh?
You worked hard for it.
Yeah, I want my 75 cents, right?
That's right.
You say the value of the product that I'm trying to purchase is 25 cents, I gave you a dollar. I got some change coming. See, we've been paying taxes, and many of us have been obedient and doing what is right, but we haven't got the change we deserve and need in Senate District 19 or the House 54th District. People want their change, John. Huh?
Yes, they do. They want results.
Yes,
sir. May I ask you a question, Reuben?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Once you're elected, how do you go about the process of getting that money that you said that's allotted in that tax reform bill that they passed? Would you go about that?
So I don't know that it's necessarily getting money as it is going through the process from the state to make sure that the channel is open for businesses to know about it and to apply to be a part of this program that they have laid, that the federal government has laid out. So it's more about being a conduit and connecting people to the resources. But part of what we're doing is we're using that as our umbrella of incentives in Tennessee for starting new businesses. Of course, you know, when a business starts, you pay taxes, right? And that helps boost and sustain the economy.
Yes, sir.
The federal government has made it easy and possible, though, for businesses right here in Tennessee and Nashville, Davidson County, to take that step and invest their monies into new business startups because of the tax incentives. Very similar to the Empowerment Zone program that was established in 1994 and phased out in 2016. All we're doing is essentially restructuring that and using that basic model and concept in District 19, if nowhere else. But as I said earlier, I believe there's a center for Senator Yarbrough and Senator Dickerson in 21 and 20 to work with us, and perhaps we can expand it to all of Nashville. See, Nashville, Senate District 19, sits smack dead in the middle of Davidson County. In fact, most of the district is in Davidson County. And because of that, we have to work smart in a way that what we do is mutually beneficial for the other neighboring in the district and House Representative District. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I would like to see a lot more empowerment out here in the Clarksville Highway area.
Yes,
the
sir.
The border area.
Yes,
it
sir.
It seems like it's left behind.
Right, right. And you know Precincts 103 and 105 in particular are those that have pockets of unemployment that's well above 7%. Again, that's not to disparage anyone, but it's the truth. And does that help one understand possibly why we have so many incidents of criminal acts and police reports and things of that nature?
You know, Board Rubin, the only thing I know is, I know this, when I get up and go to work all day and I come home, I am tired. I go to sleep. I don't have time to do anything else. Does that make sense?
John, when you get to the house, though, we're going to be needing you, sir, to do a little bit more.
You know, what I'm saying is, on that part right there, if some of the people who commit crime have something else to do other than commit crime, like go to
that's
work every
right.
day,
that's
an incentive for them not to do crime no more. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're working for you towards a goal or working with your business or going to a job, yeah, I'm going to tell you, you feel good. You sleep good at night. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I've known people who engaged in illegal activities to make money. They felt good about living the American dream in their mind because they were able to go to the mall to purchase materials, cars, clothes. You understand what I'm saying? Go out to eat and things of that nature. So that is something normal and natural about that, right? We just got to educate and encourage them to do it the right way.
That's right. There is a difference between right and wrong.
Yes, sir.
Most definitely.
Yes, sir. You should not have to look over your shoulder in your pursuit of happiness according to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths, these self-evident, that all, didn't say white, green, black, purple, or red men, but all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. That among them, John, they say, if it's a lie they wrote it, John, our life liberty, watch out now, in the pursuit of happiness. You should have to look over your shoulder in your pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. Am I wrong about that? Maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, you're not wrong. And as a taxpayer, you should be expecting not to have to do that, in my opinion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we're going to talk about next week my educational legislative agenda for education because there's a correlation to this breakdown here. And the fact is we have far too many young people dropping out of school. And some of those that don't drop out are challenged even more when they go 12 years and cannot adequately read and write. See, I'm not trying to make nobody feel bad, but we're trying to identify the problem so we can provide the solution and fix it. Legislatively, there are some things that we can do, and I'll be talking about that next Friday. Okay, I got about 5 minutes. Let me make this announcement again. Next Saturday, that's August the 18th at 6:30, I will be at the Kingdom Cafe right there on Jefferson Street. And what we'll be doing is having a meet and greet. You'll have an opportunity to engage me, Reuben Dockery, as a candidate, and we'll be sharing with you some more details about our agenda here and who I am. And there'll be an opportunity for you to make a contribution. We can use your financial support to get this message out to our constituents. I've heard some people say, well, you know, it's already a done deal, Representative Gilmore is won the Democratic primary. Congratulations to him. That's wonderful. But guess what? From what I read, there are at least 85,000 people who have yet to tell their story. Come see me. That's Saturday. on Jefferson Street at Kingdom Cafe. Again, I want to thank former candidate Pastor Howard Jones and congratulate him on a well-run race. Even though he didn't get the nomination, but I want to congratulate him and thank him for his support for my candidacy and you as well. To really think about this thing, I want to reemphasize the fact that I'm not intending to run against anybody, to run against anyone, but to run for you, the people, to bring you the change that we desperately need and want in 2018. The good news is we got some other folks who have a like mind. I want to thank my guest here tonight, Big John, who is the candidate for the 54th district. Why don't you take a minute again to reiterate that for us, Brother Smith. We've got about 3.5 minutes here.
Yes, folks, like I said, I've heard what you have said in the community. You want somebody who's going to represent you. You want somebody who's going to listen. And you want somebody who's going to take care of the concerns of the community. I am humbly asking for your vote.
All right. With that being said, we're going to make our way on out of here for this particular session of open mic with 2018 Senate District 19 candidate Reuben Dockery. Now, on November, on the ballot, there'll be 3 names on the ballot. Okay? You look on there, you won't find Hickory. You won't find Dickory. But you will find Dockery. That's Reuben Dockery under the 19th Senatorial District. Choose Dockery and you'll choose change that we need in 2018. I want to thank you all again for joining us and thank my guests for joining us. We're going to let the OJs take us out of here because they told us that money will make you do strange things. What we want to do is to put money in your hand because in Tennessee there's some money out there. I want to show you how to get it, and I ain't playing with it. Let the OJs take us home here.